Hey, it's Dan Melnick. I'm the CEO and co-founder of Zing, and I'm proud to be a sponsor of this podcast. So please check us out today as we can help fuel your business growth. MyZing.io. Thank you.
Oh, bless you. What a beautiful country, beautiful folks. Thank you for joining. This is so awesome.
Thank you very much, Frederick, for giving me opportunity to interview you for my YouTube channel and podcast and for my channels.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, this is cool. I love this.
So I've seen your profile. I can see you're doing great work. You're inspiring. You're educating. Right. You're making people to get that belief and be strong. So yes. I thought to tell about your work to my audience.
I've been very blessed. First of all, let me just say it's an honor to be on your platform. I always take these platforms humbly and thankfully. Like, I'm grateful to be here. This was never the plan. I've turned pain into gain. I'm using the pain I went through to help uplift other people. And bottom line is, there's a tilt in the world, and I'm trying to change that tilt. So about 8.5 years ago, I was homeless, dumpster diving, begging for change, panhandling. A life of untreated mental illness, substance abuse, you know, being Black in America, being born, you know, with the on the low end of the social determinants of health, meaning not the greatest circumstances. All those things landed me in a position where I wanted to die and I was homeless, begging for change. Luckily, a man found me. Angel, he blessed me. He called the ambulance. I went to treatment. I did a year. I came out. I went back to school. And when I got to school, my life changed forever. I was surrounded by people that believed in me. I was surrounded by people that loved me. I was surrounded by people that told me I could. I wrote a paper about my struggles. It got published in the Philadelphia Inquirer. And then once that got published, the rest is history. So now I travel the country and I speak at schools, corporate settings, everywhere. And I tell my story and I have lived and I try to change policy. So that's what I do.
So you're from?
I am from Pittsburgh, from the Pittsburgh. I'm a Western PA kid, but I live in Philadelphia.
So,
Philadelphia, Pennsylvania.
Pennsylvania. So, 8.5 years ago, your life was different. Today, inspiring people.
Yeah. 8 years ago, I was homeless. I was full active substance use disorder, mental illness, everything you could think of, eating out of dumpsters. I mean, just not doing very good in life at all. And then now, God has blessed me. I'll have my master's in a couple years. I have a book coming out this year. All these different things. I'm just deeply blessed.
So you're doing master's in what subject?
I'm getting my MPA, Master's of Public Administration. The reason I'm doing that is because I've learned that the world is ran on rooms of policy. So basically, I want to sit in rooms of policy and be able to help out the less fortunate.
And what is this, the Message LLC?
The Message LLC is a motivational speaking company where I travel and I speak at schools, corporate places, businesses, health departments, all that. And I tell my story and I use it to change policies and to uplift people. So it's a limited liability company that is used to provide speaking services.
So tell me some of the work that you have done.
Okay. So I just finished my first 15-state speaking tour that consisted of speaking at convocations. What convocations are is every year before college starts, they have a big, what you would call an employee day. They roll out the red carpet, and when I say red carpet, I mean for everybody. Food, some of them, I've even been the ones that had a band. I mean, you name it, they had it. And it's a day to say, welcome back to the college. It's a celebration. It's to get uplifted. Our students are coming back. They give out employee awards. They have the president give a message, basically like a State of the Union, and then they have a speaker. And so I got hired to share my story because a lot of my blessings and things changed when I went to community college. Then I've spoken, like, I do diversity work at treatment centers. So me and Dr. Jessica Isom, she's a clinical psych director at Yale, but she Well, she was at Yale. I think now she's doing some other stuff. I don't know. She's doing a whole bunch. She's a change agent in the world. Anyway, me, her, and this wonderful woman named Zena Rodriguez, we do diversity work, right? So, like, we speak at treatment centers about diversity, equity, and inclusion. So I do that on the speaking side. The other thing I do I've written scholarly stuff that got reviewed. You know, I published that. What else have I done? Getting my degree. I'll have my master's. And then I've consulted with Claire Brown. It's an entrepreneur academy. I was just on 6 ABC News. I got featured on the news for my speaking company. Just a plethora of stuff. But basically, it comes down to inspiring people to be the best they can, but then on a foundation based on health. But then talking to policymakers about making changes so that the system can be more equal.
So how do you start? It can be an organization or it can be school that you work for. How do you start? How do you present? And what will be the motto and the objective to be there?
Okay. Good question. So how did I start? Well, in order to become a motivational speaker, it's a life job, right? Like it's like being a chef. Either you have the gift or you don't. And I hate sounding so harsh in saying that. But the truth is, I believe I was given a gift. Now, you can learn how to present, right? Like you can learn how to like to present material. You can learn how to like talk. I mean, you can build up a skill set. I believe that I was given a gift, but I have to hone that gift. So the way it started was I started speaking for free at treatment centers. I would share my story. Then I started standing up, and then I started doing different things and presenting different. That went from in school, my first writing got published. I had a paper in a class that got published in a local paper. That local paper, somebody at a school read it, and then they called me. When they called me, they asked how much do I cost. After they called me, then I went and got an LLC so that I could start being paid by schools. LLC is a limited liability company. It's protection. So like they have, and they have different types of LLCs. They have S corps, all that. Well, it's a limited liability company. So you can either go to the limited liability company or you can go to nonprofit route. I didn't want to go to nonprofit route because one, in Pennsylvania, we get a nonprofit, you can't make money for 2 years. Two, you need a board of directors. And I didn't want that. I just simply wanted to speak, make my money, pay my taxes, and then donate the money where I want. I didn't want any control besides taxes being based on my money. I think nonprofits are great, and eventually I'm going to have one. And then you could take a nonprofit and turn it into an LLC. Like, there's different things you could do that I didn't know back then. Anyway, so yeah, that's how you get started. And then after you get started, you spoke at a couple of schools, then schools start reaching out, then businesses start reaching out. So you build a name. It's just like if you get a restaurant and you feed 5 customers, those 5 customers tell 5 other people, those 5 people tell 5 other people. And then before I knew it, it built and the rest is history.
So the organizations that you work for or the schools that you work for, what you said there and what kind of service that you have given to them?
Oh, yeah. So the schools that I work for are mostly community colleges, but some have been 4 years. I give them speaking services. So here's how it looks. They reach out through my website. They tell me what they're looking for. They tell me their budget. We agree on a number. We agree on the event. I fly in the day before. I get there that day, and then I give my keynote speech. After my keynote, I do I do a workshop called What is Your Legacy? We'll go around finding out why they want to be there, what their goals and their dreams are. And then I ask for a meeting with the policymakers to talk about how they're making policies. Some allow that, some don't. I meet with the students. That's what I do.
So master's in public relations?
Master's in public. Yeah, administration. So what that looks like is like this. Say the state gets, Pennsylvania gets $1 million in the budget, right? Well, they'll have meetings about where that money's going to go. I want to sit in on the meetings where they're deciding about education, about childcare, about money that would affect the poor. That's what I want to do.
So can I say the previous experiences that you had before 8 years ago that is motivating and inspiring you to speak today in public and inspire people and make them the best species on the planet?
Yeah, see, the pain that I went through was the seasoning for this life. What do I mean by that? What I mean is my background consists of trauma, bullying, sexual trauma. You know, I come from a household, God rest my mother's soul, she has severe mental illness, dysfunction. I watched my mom get abused. I mean, I had a rough childhood. Now, you wouldn't know that from the way I was dressed and from the way I presented. But inside and what was going on in my home was dysfunctional. Now, my mom tried her best, no doubt. But the reality of it is, being a social worker, single parent, poor, severe mental health, there were some challenges. And those challenges, I felt every one of them. So all those things that I went through, you know, I went to my first psych unit. I was 9 years old. I've been to 42 treatment centers, I think. I don't know. I've been to a lot of treatment centers. I mean, I was bullied. I mean, just you name it, I've been through it. All those things have turned into what I talk about now. So it was like the seasoning, the resume for this job is pain, right? And that pain was my childhood and adulthood, and then I've taken it, and now I use it to try to make the world better.
So the organizations or the schools that approach you, what do they ask you to do or to say?
All right. So, like, for example, I just had a school reach out, and they wanted me to come give my What Is Your Legacy keynote. And in that keynote, let's say it's 40 minutes. 20 of it is my background. 10 of it is my background, 10, 15. The other 15 is how I changed and the help that I got. And then the rest of it is what my future is and how they should learn from me and how they should build their life on health. So I give they want a 40-minute speech. Then they'll ask me to do a meeting separately with the students or with the staff. And we all sit in a room and talk about different ways to uplift, different ways we can make things better, all that. And then I'll do a Q&A session. And that's what I do. So that's what they ask. They ask for a speech and they ask for a meeting.
So in the Q&A session, what kind of questions do they ask?
I've gotten, you know, am I writing a book? I've gotten what was the hardest thing about change? I've gotten what was the coolest place I ever visited? I've gotten a lot of times, to be honest, because they feel safe that I opened up, they open up and tell their story. So a lot of times what will happen is they've been through something, they never shared it, and they come out and they talk about it. That's another thing I love about what I'm doing. When I open up and share, it makes other people feel like they should open up and share. What else have I gotten? I've gotten, like, you know, what was it like being homeless? A lot of questions about being homeless. That's pretty much it.
So can you tell more about yourself to my audience, people who are watching or listening to you for the first time from anywhere on this planet?
Wait, say that again. I'm sorry.
Can you tell more about yourself to the people who are listening or hearing you for the first time?
Yeah. So I am the kid that never believed in myself. I thought I was a mistake in life. I thought I was not meant to be here. I thought I was overall stupid. I thought I was dumb. I thought these things because the environment that I grew up in and what was going on with me didn't match. And the reality of it is what I've learned is none of that was true. Now, I'm not saying everybody in that environment said I couldn't be nothing and nobody in that environment was uplifting, because that's not true. There were some great humans, some of the best people I've ever met in my life that were in my environment as a child. But overall, it was very demeaning and damaging, and it left a lot of trauma. That trauma, combined with my own issues, turned into me getting high on my asthma inhaler. That turned into years of abuse. And, you know, healthy people are not attracted to unhealthy people. So then I end up attracting bad relationships. That turns into years of abuse, drugs, and alcohol. I mean, we're talking about some deep, deep pain. I gave up on life. I quit on life. I thought I was not meant to be here and that I was a mistake. And I tried to die. However, God wouldn't let me. I'm a Christian. I wear that on my sleeve. God bless anybody else and anything they do. All humans are equal. But that's just what I do and what works for me. So I wanted to die and God wouldn't let me. When that happened, that's when it changed for me. Because if I wanted to die and I thought I was a mistake and I thought I was no good and I had all this pain, but yet I couldn't, maybe there's a reason I'm here. Maybe there's a reason I'm meant to be here. And when I figured that out, that's when the light bulb went off. And when the light bulb went off, I focused the life on health. And when I focused the life on health, I went back to school. And what I learned when I got in school was, when I'm healthy, that's when all the rewards gonna come out. Because it's not an IQ issue. It's not, I want everybody to notice this watching this. It's not that you're not intelligent. It's not that you can't. It's not that you don't have vision. It's not that you don't have a gift. Every human born on this planet has a gift. That ain't the issue. The issue is, what is your foundation of health and who are you surrounding yourself with? Garbage in, garbage out. Positive in, positive out. That's what I learned. So school taught me how to surround myself with good people that would bring out the best in Freddie. When the best in Freddie came out, that's when you seen the company. That's when you seen, you know, good grades. That's when you seen me having a family. That's when you seen all the different things. But before I got healthy, I never got that. My whole life, I thought better car, better job, better woman. And things got better. What I learned was, I got better when I became a better person. So anybody listening that might be struggling or might not believe in themselves, what I want you to know is that don't give up. It's not how you start, it's how you finish. Tomorrow's another day. I thought for 30 years on this planet that I was a mistake. How wrong was I? By God's grace, I now get paid to go around the world and tell my story. But if you would have told me this at 10, I would have thought it's never possible. So what I learned is, all that pain was for a reason. When I ate out that dumpster, it was for a reason. When I got spit on being homeless, it was for a reason. So now I can use that to go back and tell people, hey, don't use drugs and alcohol. Hey, work on yourself. Hey, eat healthy. Hey, work out, because it will avoid pain. And then the one thing in life we all gonna get our fair share of is pain. So yeah, that's what I would tell people. Never quit.
So there must be a stronger reason, or there must be a stronger situation or something that made you to change yourself from that negativity to this positivity, mm-hmm. and become a motivator today. What is that particular situation or the time period? Can you explain that that mind state?
Yes. So I'm downtown almost 8 years ago. I'm homeless. I'm begging for change. And I remember vividly a lady walking past me, and I was at the Ritz-Carlton begging for change, because my idea was, this is where all the rich white folks be at. They give me a couple dollars. So I'm down there and I'm begging for change. And the lady walked past me, she spit on me, and she told me to get a job, nigger. This is what happened. It's a true story. And I remember after it happened, obviously it hurt, but I felt like in some ways that's who I was and where I was at. So I remember I made my mind up. I said, all right, I'm going to give me something to eat. I'm going to drink the rest of this fifth, and I'm going to die right here. And I remember, I think I got like a burger from McDonald's or something, but I couldn't really eat because I've been drinking so much. And I laid there and I said, God, let me die. Let me die. And I just drank away. I just drank away. And I remember that the time I had a phone and I tried to listen to one of my favorite songs before passing out. And I remember drinking. And a guy woke me, and the guy was waking me up. I thought I was dead, and I thought I was going to wake up looking at Jesus. And that didn't happen. And I remember when I got in the basement of the treatment facility, I remember when I went to call my mother. I'm an only child. And I called my mom, and I said, hey, you know, mom, like, I tried to die, and it wouldn't let me. I'm done. Like, I'm changing. And I remember she said, Freddie, I hope I didn't get sober to bury you. Something clicked. When I tried to die and I couldn't, that's when I knew I was meant to be here for a reason. That's when I changed my thought process. That's when I changed how I look at the world. That's when I changed, wait a minute. Like, I tried to die. I should have died. I went to the hospital. My alcohol level was a 0.7. The nurse said, in her 30 years of working as a nurse, she never seen anybody with a 0.7 with my BMI being able to live. I laughed and said, good, give me some Gatorade and I passed out sleep. My point is, if I try to die and I could not live, I meant to be here. That's when I changed.
So when you reach out to organization or when you're giving a public speaking in an organization, what kind of a motivation that you give to them?
It's pain driven energy. So like one of the things I hate is I hate doing virtual events because it takes away from the energy. I'm an energy person. So like when I'm in a room, you can feel my energy. My motivation to them is get focused. What is, you know, like I feel like we live in a society that doesn't have passion. Like when you wake up, you should wake up and go to your job. Yep, I work. Okay, I wake up, go to my job. I get to my job. All right, I eat lunch. Okay, I eat lunch. I go home. Okay, I get a shower. I eat dinner. I watch TV. I go to sleep. I wake up on Saturday. I cut my grass. I go to church. Like, come on. Like, have some energy. Have some passion. Have some care. Have some want to. You know what I mean? Like, wake up like, yo, what's going on? Blah, blah, blah. Like, bring that out. Like want to be here. Want to be alive. Like, want to enjoy what you do, love what you do, figure out how to fix what you're doing, figure out how to fix, like, the field you're working in, you know, study it, read it, laugh. When you see somebody say what's up, like, energy, passion, all that, I feel like that's lacking in our society.
So, public administration, so mm-hmm. what made you to take this subject? So, before answering to this question, just a correction, you're going out of the camera, if you can be in the middle.
Oh, okay, all right, my bad. What made me want to do that is because what I found out is the world is ran in rooms of policy. What does that mean? That means politicians, scientists, educators, and consultants sit in a room that is made by a politician or a board, and they make decisions about aspects of the field. So, for example, there might be a commission or there might be a group that's policy and education, and they literally write up a script of policies, submit it to a politician or submit it to somebody, and they sign it in the law. It's basically doing legislative work and basically doing policy work. Like, that's what you're doing. And these policies become mandated at a building or they become mandated at a school. Those policies would determine the books you read, would determine what times of day the school runs, like all these different things. What made me want to do that is I realized no matter how motivated somebody can be, no matter how intelligent somebody got to be, you're still in a system devised not for you. So I have to think bigger. If I change the policies on how the system is run, then it makes it more equal for the people that won't be able to change the system. So basically, the way I'm looking at it is this. I don't believe it's that people are lazy, that people don't want to get ahead, that people don't want to do good things in the world. I believe that the system is not set up for certain people, especially people of color and poor people. And this data proves that. This is not like something I'm making up. My life experience has shown me that, and the data backs that up. I want to change the system. I want the system to be more equal for people of color, people who are poor, people that have substance use disorder, people that have mental illness, all that stuff.
So what are the changes that should be done in the system?
All right. Well, first of all, we got to give out more resources, right? So, for example, I don't know why we don't have free lunch in college. We have free lunch in high school as if they stop getting hungry when they leave high school. Another thing, I hate the fact that the books that we give out in high schools, you know, there's only a few companies that run the books. Like, we're not giving out enough wide variety of different scholars and different perspectives. I don't like what we teach in high schools. I think we should have classes on more life skills. Like, I had a school in Africa reach out. They taught kids how to fish. They taught them a budgeting class. They taught them how to sew. They gave them life skills. I don't believe, you know, I remember having home ec growing up. I don't believe we have enough life skills. The other thing is, we don't teach emotional intelligence at all. I think emotional intelligence is a big, big deal. The way I make my money really has nothing to do with my intelligence. It's my networking and my social capitalism and my ability to talk to people and my emotional intelligence. Emotional intelligence is what keeps me paid. Definitely not my intelligence thing. Like my degree don't even really mean nothing. Like it really doesn't. Like what really helps me to get speaking gigs is my emotional intelligence. The other thing is, okay, say for example, you're going to school. You know, are there resources for housing? Are there resources for food? Are there resources for childcare? What I've learned, you know, I spoke at one of these Ivy League schools. I did this thing with Stanford. What I learned is the difference between the elite and the students that get these great grades and the students that doesn't, it's not intelligence. It's resources. It's support. The most supported in life usually do the best because they have support to get there. I've learned in life there's no such thing as a self-made man. It takes a village. So my thing is the reason we have these wealth gaps, and we do, you see it all over the world, but definitely here in America, the reason we have these wealth gaps of homeless and inequality is because the 1% and the rich aren't giving enough. And if they are, then that's not being divvied out well enough. And as things go up, pay isn't going up. So we have a whole bunch of people that are working, that are check to check. And before you know it, they're going to end up homeless, not because they're not smart, because it only takes one bad thing in life to happen, and we all got problems. So that's what I think is going on. I just think there's too much hoarding and not enough sharing.
So if you have the power to change the policy, and if you are the policy maker, what kind of changes that you want to do?
First thing I'm doing is I'm giving out more resources. So for example, okay, if I'm in a building of employee, I'll give you a real good example. There's a company that was given like 20,000 or like some type of payment down on a new employee. If they took the job, they would give them money to buy their first house. Well, if you're giving me money on a down payment on a mortgage to buy my first house, of course I'm going to be an employee that works hard for you. There was another company, they did studies on, I think it was Netflix, I don't know, one of them. But anyway, at their job, they offered housing. I mean, not housing, but they offered free lunch. They offered childcare. They offered transportation. Like, if I'm in a policy, I'm looking to say, okay, the people that have the support, we're not worried about them. Let's focus on the people that they got to worry about how they get to work. They got to worry about childcare. They got to worry about food. They got to worry about housing. Like, if we want our employees to show up and we want our business to be successful, then we need to care for the people that's running our business. We need to make sure they can get here every day. We need to make sure that they got the childcare they need. Like, if I ran any policy, the first thing I'm doing is, how can I support the people that these policies will affect? That's what I'm thinking about.
So when you're giving public speaking, what kind of questions that the listeners usually have in their mind, you know, when you are being a speaker?
I get a lot of questions about what was it like being homeless. I get a lot of questions about my future. I get a lot of questions about when is my book coming out. I get a lot of questions about how did I get through certain stuff? Like, a lot of people have been through mental illness. A lot of people have been through a lot of trauma or background. I get those type of questions.
So how was your life when you was homeless?
Horrible. I mean, it's the thing about being homeless is, for me, was, you mean to tell me I have nowhere I can sleep at? Like, you mean to tell me that my life has gotten so bad that I am sleeping on a curb? That's what bothered me. Like, of all the people I've ever met, all the people I've ever been kind to, all the people that I've known in my life, you mean to tell me that everything in life that has happened to me leads me sleeping by a dumpster? I also learned humanity when I was homeless, because the people that gave me money were not the people that had money. It was a person with their last 20 at the bus stop as a single parent mother. Poor people gave me money. Rich people did not give me money. or at least people that look like they had it or act like they had it. It was hard. It was the most shameful I've ever. It was a lot of shame. It was a lot of shame. It was terrible. It was, I mean, you know, it was one of the worst feelings ever. To this day, when I drive past a dumpster and I smell a dumpster, I get scared because it reminds me when I was homeless. I mean, it's the worst experience of my life. One of them.
So what do the listeners feel when you say, you know, your story?
Wait, say that again?
What do, you know, the listeners will say after listening to your story?
By God's grace, I humbly say this. A lot of people cry. A lot of people say they're ready to go do work. A lot of people thank me. A ton of people tell me to keep going. A lot of people just relate on how I did it. And that's what's hard about my job, is that the blessing is I'll get people to say, I love you. Thank you for what you're doing. I appreciate you. You helped me today in many ways and you don't even know. And in one way, I love that because I'm connecting with people all around the world. But in another way, it hurts me because that tells me there's a lot of bad things going on. And there's a lot of people suffering in silence. That's what people got to understand about mental illness, substance abuse. People, we live in a society where stigma outweighs education. And people are very scared to talk about their mental illness or substance abuse and fear of might would come with that. So when I speak on it, a lot of people feel freed up. I get a lot of thank yous, a lot of tears, a lot of love. That's what I get.
So when you entered into the school and when you're surrounded by people, then you have understood what life is and what education is.
Yes, yes.
So how was that experience being in school?
Well, at first it was hard because I didn't even want to do it. My wife talked me into it. I was in there with 18 and 19 year olds and I'm 30 years old. I felt less than. I felt shame. It was hard to go back. I had not been in school for years. On top of that, I had failed out of 7 schools. So it wasn't like, you know, like I felt a confidence. School built my confidence. I had none. I had no self-esteem. It was hard. I had to change my life. I had to do homework every night. I had to learn how to be a good student. I had to learn how to ask for help. I had to learn how to ask for help with people that I might not like. I had to learn to deal with people I don't like. I had to learn how to be patient. School takes time. I mean, I've been in school since 2017. It is now 2024. You're talking about 8 years straight schooling. Time, patience. Hard. It was work.
So how do you inspire people?
What I do is I share my story because I believe that my story is a story of, unfortunately, the experience of many poor minority people. And my point is, you know, people tell these stories or people hear about that and say, no, no way. That's not true. Can't be, blah, blah, blah. They don't know how many people like me are suffering. You know, I'm not the only one with a story. I just happen to be a person with the gift to tell it and a person that have been blessed with the support to showcase my gift. So what I want people to know out of my story is don't ever quit. What I want people to know out of my story is, listen, they laughed at Noah when he said it was raining. They ain't laughing no more, right? Keep building. Like, some of the greatest minds, some of the greatest people that have changed the world, they were laughed at. They were looked down on. They weren't believed in. You don't need them to be successful. You don't need people to, I mean, now you do, and you absolutely need people that believe you to support you. But what I'm saying is, don't allow the people that don't to stop you where you're trying to go. Know that you've been put here for a reason. Every human, there's 9.5 billion people on the planet, last time I checked. All of us were put here for a different reason. We all have a different skill set. Somebody might be a nurse. Somebody might be a janitor. Why would you say janitor? Because it's not the job you got. It's what you do with the job. We are all put here for a reason. Never forget that.
What is your book about?
It's going to be called God and Grind, the story of how I went from eating out of a dumpster to being a national keynote speaker. It's going to be my autobiography on my life.
So, how much you charge?
How much what?
How much you charge for a session?
It depends. It all depends on what their budget is. There's no, let me put it like this. 10,000 plus travel, 5,000 plus travel. Sometimes I do it for free, not very much, but I have, depending on the organization, who they are, how our rapport is. It all depends, but I'm like in that with travel, like in that 15,000 range, 10,000-15,000.
So how much sessions you have done? How much work you have done?
In the last, I'd say like last year, I did like 50 keynotes, something like that. So 50 keynotes, I mean, I'm pretty busy, you know, very blessed to be busy.
So what do people carry with themselves after listening to you, after completion of your session?
When you listen to me, two things happen, I notice. You either love me, you either get motivated, or you either totally disagree with me. But the one thing you do is you think. That's the whole point. Even if you disagree with me, I want you to think. Because if you're thinking, that means you're trying to either devise a way to figure out what you're doing. My whole goal is just to leave thinking. That's what I want. When people leave my session, they leave motivated and they leave hungry and they leave ready and they leave knowing that, okay, I get it. Let me do what I need to do.
Do you do a one-to-one session or only public speaking?
Do I do one-on-one sessions?
Yeah.
Like coaching? Yeah, I do mentorship. Yeah, I mentor people. Absolutely.
So what kind of problems they come to you?
A lot of people struggling with drugs and alcohol. A lot of people struggling with childhood traumas. A lot of people struggling in relationships. A lot of people struggling with motivation, passion, belief. A lot of young people not knowing where their future is going or what they want to be. I get a lot of that.
So you already have this societal knowledge and social change, you know, and also the social service in you. And now you are studying, you are doing masters in public administration. So what change that you are going to do in the society with collection of all this, you know, the skill set that you have and the leadership skills that you have and also the background that you came from?
Yeah, it's a very good question. Thank you for that question. All right, well, that's a combination of answers. So the first thing is I'm taking a year off and I'm going to go get my doctorate next year. Because that's where it really get interesting. Because the doctorate is where you choose a field and you either review all the literature that has been written or you collect your own and add it to what is written. Once I get the doctorate, you now become a researcher in that field. So your job is to stay up and provide information on that field. I don't know what I want to do yet. I don't know if I want to be a psychologist, a sociologist, or I don't know. I'm not sure yet. But whatever I do, I want to make it better for the less fortunate. So the people, I used to believe for some reason that the house in the suburbs, the car, pretty wife, and all that meant that you were the most intelligent person on the planet. I've learned otherwise in my life travels. I want there to be more equality. I want this wealth gap to stop. I want the people that don't know people in positions of power to be able to have a chance to get up there. Because there's too many situations where we have one dominant. White males run the world. That's just the reality of life. If you look at corporate America and look at the decisions are made, they're made by white, wealthy men. Now, let's say that a room of them, they mean well. The problem is, when you're making decisions about the world, you can't have people from all the same background with the same perspective making those decisions on a diverse population. You got to have diversity in that room. You got to have people that are black. You got to have people from different cultures. You got to have people that are women. You like, you can't just have one dominant thing, because we see the results. So that's why I'm getting to what I do. I want there to be more of a more broader perspective for the world. That's why I'm doing it.
So what are the tools that you have in order to change things that you want? All right.
So the first tool I got is the want to, the work ethic. Because in order to change something, you got to want to do it, the passion to do it. That's number one. Number two, I have a support system. Number three, I have the faith. Number four, I have the education. Number five, I have this gift of talking. Number six, I have my background. See, I come to the table with something different. Normally, to get in these rooms, you need a credit card, and that credit card is your degree. I have been blessed that I have a degree plus a story. So I'm not just coming in with, I studied this, I went to this school, I've learned these people. I not only lived it, but I have a degree in it, and I speak around the country doing it. So I come with a powerful combination.
Is it easy to be a people's person?
No. Naturally, for me, I'm naturally a people's person. That's how God made me. I naturally talk to people. I naturally connect with people. It's easy for me because I believe that's part of my gift, is that I connect with people. But one thing I have learned, I was talking to a psychologist down in Maryland. He said that for 20 years, for decades, the number one fear in this world is public speaking. People would rather jump off a bridge than to talk to people in public. No, it is not a societal trait to be easy to be a people person. But if I'm not a people person, I don't have a business.
What's your website?
www.freddyshegog.com. freddyshegog.com.
What is the message, LLC?
It is a motivational speaking company whose aim is to inspire, educate, and create healthy lifestyles for all. That's the mission statement. I almost forgot it for a minute, but it is inspire, educate, and create healthy lifestyles for all. The job of the message LLC is to inspire. The second job of the message is to educate. And the third job of the message is to put that into action by creating healthy lifestyles for all. So you inspire, you get yourself together, you educate. After you educate, you then create healthy lifestyles for all. So you empower people to empower other people. That's what it is.
So what level you can change? It can be organizations or schools or
anywhere. The goal is to change the world. That's the goal.
Great. So what's your, as a leader, as a public speaker, as a person who came with a story, as a person who understands everything about society and public administration policies, which can able to change the society, what is your observation about my work? Have you seen any videos of mine on YouTube?
Have I seen any what?
Any videos of mine on YouTube.
I've made videos of yours on YouTube. Yeah. Oh, yeah. I mean, you're all over the world. You do all kinds of stuff. You interview all kinds of cool people. You're doing blessed work. I mean, being on here is so cool. You're everywhere. You're all over the world. You're on YouTube in San Fran, Arizona, Idaho. I mean, everywhere. I mean, you're everywhere.
So what do you think, with my work, what I can able to do, and as a leader, what I'm doing, what can able to be changed?
Yeah, what you're doing is fabulous. It's unbelievable. Because the greatest thing you're doing is you're bringing people from all around the world together, sharing different thoughts and ideas. You turn that to a book, oh, that's going to be powerful. You can present that as research and literature that, hey, I've met people literally all around the world. Do you know how hard that is to do? That are all in different fields, doing different things, helping different people. That's what we need. You're the glue that connects folks. Ah, beautiful.
So I actually, thank you very much, sir. I actually did a master's in software engineering, also bachelor's in computer science and engineering. Right, yeah, now I'm doing some.
Eyes brother.
I'm a professional cricketer as well. I'm a sportsman.
Oh, yeah. I mean, yeah. You're highly, highly intelligent.
So, I'm a DevOps engineer and a software engineer. That's my full-time job. Apart from that, I'm interviewing experts like you who are already in the industry, who are changing the world, who are making things happen, who are creating things, and who are inspiring people, and who are educating the world. I'm interviewing experts like you all around the world. More than 100 countries experts I have interviewed in my last 3 to 4 years, apart from my full-time job.
That's unbelievable. That's like unbelievable. You're one of the most successful people I've ever met in my life.
More than 750 interviews I have done, and also recently I have given a virtual lecture in Northern Arizona University. So I'm doing this. So apart from my education and apart from my qualification and everything, I'm exploring minds from everywhere on this planet and trying to understand how they developed themselves and came from different experiences and came from different backgrounds and how they achieve things that they achieve. I'm trying to explore them and trying to put on my channels. And with this kind of a project, what I'm going to learn and what I'm going to present and what my audience are going to learn from it.
Yeah. They will learn that you can be anything you want if you have support, you have belief, and you have a healthy foundation. They will learn from me that anything is possible. They will learn from me that if you focused on the goal and not the mess, you will be all right. That's what they'll learn.
Great. Can I put this video on my YouTube channel with your permission?
Oh, absolutely. Please do. I want to be on your channel. That's the coolest channel to be on. You're the hot YouTube right now. You kidding me? Absolutely.
And also, can I put this audio and video clip on my podcast website, internet, social media, everywhere?
Yes, all of it. Share it worldwide. Share it all around the world.
So definitely, if small amount of planet changes because of the story that you have told to my audience and also the experiences that you had and the service that you are doing, I will share your web links also with my audience. Whoever visits my site and my channels can able to see the work that you're doing, can able to see the service that you're doing, and also take your service and better themselves, come out from trauma and also come out from that negative mindset that they have.
Yes, share it worldwide. Absolutely. I want to be able to say I was on my man's podcast. Yes.
Thank you very much again, inspiring us and giving me opportunity to interview you for my channels.
Of course. Bless you. Thank you for having me. Bless you. Thank you for the blessed work that you're doing. You are literally helping, saving lives, and you're changing the world. You're making it better. You are the coolest. Thank you.
Thank you very much, sir. Take care.
Have a good day.
Bye.